Yeah, the way Sam interpreted the question that, as I read it, was the way a lot of people, I mean, you know how Facebook is, the conversation went in all different directions, a whole bunch of rabbit trails. It's text only over there. But, the terminology is important. First of all, and I'm in a way addressing the question ahead of time, Mike, so we can all just sort of just feel it out. We know from Romans 15:8 that now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He came for the Jews. So maybe I can put that question in the room. Maybe it's not that too big for that. Hold on. So here, let me do this. This is the question as it was posed, if it works. Well, hey, did it work? You guys are seeing that? So this is the question. So the fact that, see, of course it happened. Christ only died once, right? So, Christ dying for sins. I look like a Pal Talk ad, yeah. Christ only died on the cross once, so of course he died for the world's sins on the cross. But I think the gist of the question is, see, and that's the terminology. He was dying for everybody's sins on the cross. 2 Corinthians 5 makes that abundantly clear. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. It's on the cross, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Verse 21, for he, God, hath made him, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be sin for us. Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I think the question is more to the point that Jesus Christ's earthly ministry, to include his death, burial, and resurrection, was according to prophecy. It was prophetic. We can find the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. Isaiah 53, if I remember correctly, hold on. His death, Isaiah 53, verse 8. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people was he stricken. So he died for sins, he died for transgressions, and it's prophesied that he will die for the transgression of the Jews. The burial, Isaiah 53:9, and he made his grave, not to open Gary's can of worms, now that he's got a solid mic, solid internet connection, to make his grave with the wicked. Okay, Norm. And with the rich in his death, because he hath done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. And then his resurrection, verse 10, Isaiah. This is Isaiah. This is Old Testament. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. So, Jesus Christ's ministry, earthly ministry, to include his death, burial, and resurrection, was all prophesied, and it was all to, for, and about the nation of Israel. But the big picture, the big picture was that, according to prophecy, that the nations, the Gentiles, would come to God through the nation of Israel. See those hands? What's that verse in Malachi? Or Zechariah. There it is. That's the one. See, this is still, and it's still going to happen. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days shall it come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew. So, Gentiles, under the prophetic program, would come to God through the Jews, through the nation of Israel. And I'll stop now. And it also, there is also the distinction within Paul's ministry that that this is what Mike teaches that sets him apart differently than, say, a lot of grace mid-acts dispensationalists. A lot of our friends here in Pal Talk don't agree with this, but when Paul writes he was sent to the Jew first and also to the Greek, and when we read in the verses that we use to share the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15 verses 3 and 4, it says according to the scriptures. And I think that question from J. Mike is relating. See, we can't read ourselves today into Isaiah 53. And I don't believe we can read ourselves. Our condition is not that of even the Corinthians. The Corinthians at that time, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and I'll shut up. I'm going to finish right here. I can keep going.
To answer Sam's question about John 3:16, the whole world, I don't, because that's written about the time and the place and the person when he was around, I limit it to prophetic. At the time in the ministry of in the writing of John, the ministry of Christ, the Roman Empire was the world, as they had a large area of conquest. They had a vast area, and the Jews were scattered. Even in John chapter 7, the Jews were scattered all over the place among the Gentiles. And since John starts out with he came unto his own, and the other two passages speak of him being a ransom for many, yet not all, it's within the framework of prophetic time. We are mentioned, obviously, in Paul later as the all. So my answer is to the world in John 3:16 is not the entire world, because it wasn't included in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The whole world, where everybody was everywhere, Gentile and Jew, then you'll see that in Paul. But you don't see that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I'm done.
Well, the whole thing is tied together and understood when you understand the timing, the sequence of events, the chronology. That makes it all clear. That not everything was revealed at one time. I mean, that's why we've got, 66 books in the Bible, not just one, you know. It wasn't all occurring and happening in the Garden of Eden. There was a sequence of events that went on through history, and in God's revelation of what he did to solve our problem, things happened and in a sequence of events, and they were revealed in due time. That's a scriptural phrase, in due time. For instance, look at, where is that now? Hold on, I'll find it. Here. 1 Timothy 2:6, who gave himself a ransom for all. We know that on the cross, but we're after it was revealed. Before that, it says it was testified in due time. It wasn't due time to testify that it was for all that he was a ransom when he was crucified. When he was crucified, they knew he was being that Messiah. They didn't. Most of them didn't believe that he was the Messiah. But the ones that, whether they believed it or not, they knew the scriptures that Messiah would die for. I don't know if I interrupted or not, Delta, but he was about to get to those verses, 11 and 12 there, 10, 11, and 12 in Isaiah 53. And since we're talking on it, I don't know if we should even be talking about this, because the question asker isn't here. But you got to 10. Let me put these three verses up there. Under prophecy, yeah, that's true. I mean, there's nothing wrong with John 3:16. It's a great verse for Israel, to whom it was. I mean, it's, if you read the surrounding verses, 14, you know, we're not the ones that were in the wilderness. Our fathers weren't the ones that were in the wilderness that looked at the serpent on the pole. It was to them, to those people that descended from the ones in the desert, in the wilderness. Let's see, Isaiah 53. Verse 11, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify everybody. No, justify many. Now, he did justify everybody, but nobody knew that until it was revealed to Paul in due time. So, by his knowledge shall my righteous servant, that's Jesus Christ, justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. They who? The many. The ones he's talking to here, Israel. Isaiah is a prophet to Israel. Therefore will I divide him a portion. I'm sorry if I get excited. I don't mean to sound gruff. If I'm sounding gruff, I'm sorry. But verse 12, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many. And that many, again, is not everybody. It's not saying yet that he bare the sin of everybody. He did, but it doesn't say so yet. So they weren't told that. We find out later that he did bear the sin of everybody and made intercession for the transgressors. Doesn't matter if it was revealed yet. It answers the person's question, the whole world. I'm done. The whole world. In other words, he died for the whole world. Is that what you're saying? Yeah. And that's what the verse there says, too. 1 Timothy 2:6. Sam. Who's Sam? Is Pond Mud Sam? I didn't know your name. I'm glad to find out, though. Good. Okay. Yeah, he died for all the world, but it was revealed in due time, Paul's time, in the Lord Jesus Christ's time, that he revealed it to Paul to reveal to us. And there are other places that it says that things were revealed in due time, the promise of life. Okay, Delta, come on up.
What we're doing is we're mixing doctrine, Mike. We're mixing body of Christ doctrine with prophecy. Let's just stick to the prophetic. Let's just pretend that to answer this question, we need to just... John 3:16 is written to, for, and about God's prophetic program. for the earth. And Gentiles, Gentile nations, are included in that. Okay? So if the dispensation, if God's prophetic program was not interrupted, you see what I'm saying? Then so let's look at what was supposed to happen according to prophecy and answer the question that way, is all I'm saying. Isaiah 53, and also let's just be clear here. I don't see Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. I don't see his death in those that see Jesus Christ dying for sins in John 3:16. I believe, listen to me, Sam, you're reading an awful lot into that one word, gave. Okay? I don't see, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so, yes, there, you know, and also, let me make this point. I don't believe John 3:16 should be in red letters. We know that whoever wrote the book of John, the writer of the book of John, wrote it after the fact, after Christ's earthly ministry. He wrote it after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And look at this verse, John 3:13. Could Jesus have said that at the time during his earthly ministry? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Thank you, Gary. That's it. Yeah, it shouldn't be in red letters. It's not Jesus' words. And that's just a little side trail there. But under God's prophetic program, okay, to continue, not to mix, we're not talking about the church, the body of Christ here. Let's make that clear. We're not talking about Paul's gospel. We're not talking about the mysteries that were revealed to Paul. We're talking about what was supposed to happen if God's prophetic time clock would have just kept on ticking. If God's prophetic time clock would have kept on ticking when they stoned Holy Ghost-filled Stephen in Acts chapter 7 at the end of the acceptable year of the Lord, the 7 years of tribulation should have kicked in. Right? And the 7 years of tribulation should have kicked in. And Christ would have returned, set up his kingdom on earth. And at that time, the doctrine of John 3:16 would have come true. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That was the schedule, Mike. That was the schedule. This is that was spoken of by the prophet Joel in Acts 2:16. That's what. So you with me? Sam, now let me read some more verses from John chapter 15, and this goes to what Mike was saying. So yeah, under the prophetic program, if it was to play out according to God's prophetic time clock, without the interruption of the dispensation of the grace of God, it would have been so. And it will be in the future. Exactly, Mike. Whoever believeth in him, that's their doctrine, the name of Jesus Christ. And I'll just finish off with these questions, these verses here. John 15. This is the upper room, right? Correct me if I'm wrong, somebody. Jesus Christ speaking, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Verse 13. Greater love, pay attention to this verse, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Whoops. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Put that together with the verses that Mike was sharing about the Lord Jesus Christ saying that he was going to die for many. Many is not all. And here Jesus Christ said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends, not his enemies. Okay? So now, we're going to make the distinction. We got to draw that line. That's prophecy. This is mystery. Romans chapter 5. Verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Only through the mystery program that we get from the Apostle Paul do we see that Christ died for his enemies, not just his friends. That he died for the sins of his enemies. For sinners, not those that endured to the end. Verse 8. Christ, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 6. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Then you go back and compare that with Christ dying for sins under the prophetic program. Acts chapter 3. Verse 19. Their sins are going to be blotted out at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, if they endure unto the end. So, Mike, you with us, Sam? I agree with you, but we need to understand that that is still yet future prophecy. John 3:16. It's under the prophetic program. You know the timelines, the visual aid timelines. One that I can't post it in the room because I don't have my hat on. One that I like a lot is, hopefully I've got a link to it, is Les Feldick's biblical timelines. Let me post a half a link in the room. You won't be able to click on it, but you'll be able to figure out how to get there. And if you go there, at the very top, he's got the timeline we see today in the church age. And it's got that interruption that I was talking about, the Paul's revelation of the mysteries, the church age, the dispensation of the grace of God. But you scroll down and you see, and this is what makes it good for this question here, the timeline the Old Testament prophets saw. So if you look at that one, you'll see where the doctrine of John 3:16 fits in without Paul's My Gospel, without the revelation of the mystery, as if the prophetic time clock had just kept ticking the way it was prophesied to do. Right? You see the cross, you see the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, you see the 7 years of tribulation, the second coming of Jesus Christ, 1,000 years of the kingdom, and during that millennial kingdom, that's when the doctrine of John 3:16, all the world, applies. You with me? No, Norm, Pond Mud is Sam. I guess we lost Liberty. So, Mike, you said today's a good day for Q&A. I just took Sam's question about John 3:16 as another question, a new question, a different question, a different observation. But it's not until we get into Paul's epistles that we find out that, you know, the mystery that well, I'll stop. Maybe just hold that for J. Mike if he comes in today. Okay, Mike, open microphone.
I was doing some other things, trying to get prepared, which I messed up on earlier. Anyway, didn't hear. Did you didn't hear all of what you said, Daryl? Did you relate John 3:16 to what it's talking about there in Isaiah?
Yeah.
Let me just post the two verses. And to me, it makes it clear when you're not stuck on insisting that you know that the that John 3:16 is what they always told us in church, that it's our salvation or whatever. For unto us a child is born. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. A son is given. And the government, it's talking about a government here. What government? Well, that's what that's the government that was promised. A world government. Let's look in Exodus 19, verse. Well, just to cut it short, briefly, we'll look in verse 5 and 6. And it says, this is the Lord speaking to Moses. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, so it's conditional, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests. So they're going to be a whole kingdom of priests, a holy nation. And they haven't been that yet. These are the words thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Lord speaking to Moses what to tell the children of Israel. And so this kingdom, back to Isaiah 9 verse 6 in relation to John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government, that's the government. Back there in Exodus 19, verses 5 and 6, the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name, and it will be when he returns. He will come and take over, and there will be no question about it at that time. There will be no conference table. What a goofy song. There will never be any peace until Jesus Christ sits at the conference table. What a farce. there'll be no conference table. He's going to take over. And when he comes, he will split the Mount of Olives in half. And there, you know, it'll take him a while to bury all the dead bodies. It'll take them months, apparently. But from the remains from the Battle of Armageddon. So he, the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful. But this is all in relation to Israel. It doesn't have anything to do with our salvation, which is in the Bible. I'm not saying that we don't get saved. I'm saying that this is not it. Don't get confused by this, because it will confuse you if you try and mix Israel's doctrine with the body of Christ doctrine, like Daryl was saying earlier. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. So Jesus is God. 1 John 5:20, Jesus is God. The Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's his coming in glory, when he shall come in his glory, in Matthew 19.